You're listening to the Loyalty Minute, the show that helps you build better customer loyalty and more valuable user engagement with your host, Rob Gallo.
Welcome, loyal listeners, to another episode of the Loyalty Minute. I'm your host, Rob Gallo, and today I'm eager and excited to chat with Zachary Slingsby. Zach is the founder of Human Factor Media, an award-winning branded content team that encourages brands to make films instead of ads. Please welcome to the show, Zach. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, Rob, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
So for those who want a little bit more background, let me have you explain who you are, what you came from, and what you're up to.
Absolutely. Human Factor Media, been around about 5 years. My background is not in marketing. And before this company, it wasn't in production either. It was in the creative fields, writing primarily. I've always had a fascination with story, mostly in literary form. And I wrote for hire in New York and DC for many years. And I had jobs in-house at nonprofits and some publishing houses. And then kind of saw the way it was going with branded content being a platform for storytelling. And so partnered up with people whose background was in production. And I kind of sought to oversee the storytelling side of it and brought in, production partners who were much more proficient than I would be with camera, let's say. And from there, we started to slowly kind of develop a client base based at first on retainer and a little later on projects, project to project basis, as well as retainer. And it's been great. I mean, it was slow going, as any business is in the beginning. But over time, we've been able to build up our portfolio, worked with some great brands like New York Post and LG, Planet Fitness, Sleep.com, Snap Discover, and many more. And we've gotten to win some awards, and it's been a lot of fun and very educational at the same time.
Cool. Well, it's interesting. So when you say you encourage people, brands, to make films instead of ads, what does that actually mean?
So I think that we all kind of think about the way that a business would speak to you. Usually a business would put content out there, and the only real thing that they would be trying to do with that content is tell you what they are selling and how much it costs and why you should buy it, right? That would be the three primary objectives of any piece of content that a business put out up until very recently. But social media has kind of created a new objective for brands, which is to entertain people. You have to post often. Let's say, if you want to be relevant to the news feeds of people who you're trying to reach, and you can't constantly bombard them with ads, at least not effectively. And so that, creates a new question. What do we post? What are we making? And oftentimes brands have found that it's much more effective to tell a story or to use your page as a theater page, a platform for entertainment, than to constantly create ads as though we were programming, content in the 70s, 80s, 90s.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense? Does that make sense or not?
So let's think of some examples in that respect. Yeah. The positive and the negative. You think about ads that were captivating, but not really compelling. And then you think of stories that take a progression through. I think of, like, in the old days, the Barbasol, and I know I'm dating myself, but when Barbasol did the, every 2 miles, they did another billboard, and it was kind of telling a story as you went down there. So I get it. So what are some examples of some of the stories that you've been on there?
So I think there's different extremes here. So I think on one end, you would have, let's say brand integration would be a very subtle way to do it, right? So let's say your Red Bull is going to make a four-part series, and it's going to be about athletes, let's say. But at every step, and Gatorade, right, is very effective. Nike is very effective with this too. At every step, you find a way to tie the product in, right? There's always, or Subway will make a web series, but the people are always eating Subway sandwiches and they're talking about the ingredients, let's say, somewhere. The brand has been integrated into the story. On the other extreme, you have Hulu and Netflix, right? Those are for-profit companies, became streaming platforms. Or Amazon Prime is an amazing example of this, right? Amazon is obviously the everything store. You can go on there and buy whatever you want. They have a Prime page that's devoted Prime memberships are devoted to the content bank of shows and movies and all this unbelievable entertainment that has nothing to do with what they're selling. But Jeff Bezos famously said that, you know, winning Golden Globes helps us sell socks. And the reason that that connection exists is because they know that, you know, you become a Prime member to watch their content, but Prime members shop three times as much as non-Prime members. So it's the entertainment is serving the end of the commerce, but so they're linked, but they're, the content is not linked to what they're selling. So those would be two different extremes of using entertainment. One would be you integrate the brand at every turn. The other would be this is entertainment, has nothing to do with the brand, but it's benefiting the underlying business.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, case in point with the Loyalty Minute, the platform that I built was specifically to talk about loyalty, but loyalty goes beyond that in, you know, it's not just programs of, you know, getting points and things like that. It's about customer experience, but sometimes you have to go on tangents, and I've gone on crazy tangents over the last 105 episodes, whatever we're up now. And, but it generally always ties back to loyalty, right? So the reason that I tie it back to loyalty is that's in my mind, the end all be all. Right. So it's seven times or six times more cost effective to retain an existing customer than it is to go out and get a new one. So what that means is you should be spending your time, focus, energy, and effort on cultivating the relationship with the customers that you currently have to keep them forever. Mm-hmm. Right. So everyone always wants the new lead gen tool, and which is cool. Don't get me wrong. You need new customers. But once you have them, how do you keep them? How do you hold on to them? And, you know, through the platform, we've been talking about stories. People come up with stories as to why they're loyal to a brand. So, you know, and I famously talk about, I can't remember who it was, but a gentleman was on a flight from Australia to the UK, and he had a stopover in Southeast Asia, and he was on British Airways, and the guy at the kiosk says, do you have your visa? And he goes, well, I don't need a visa. He goes, you need a visa because you're going to stay over tonight. And right next to the kiosk was Virgin Airways. And they overheard the conversation. They said, come over here. We'll take care of you. We'll get you all sorted out, get you on the next plane. He's been a Virgin Airways customer ever since.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's a story that I remember from 100 episodes ago where, you know, it resonates. So let me ask you. Are there brands that you yourself, Zach, are loyal to and can think of a story as to why you're loyal to that brand and, you know, how that ties in? Or on the flip side, a company that you maybe were loyal to and not anymore because of something they did wrong?
Oh, wow. So we can badmouth on this?
Yeah, sure.
We can trash talk?
But it's a learning experience.
Yeah. No. I'm a little bit of a hermit in my consumer habits. You know, like I'm drawn to brands for the quality of the experience of the product, right? Like, we spoke a little bit previously about whiskey brands, I have favorite brands primarily based on the taste. So I wouldn't attribute it to branding, but I do fall for, let's say you're going to go into a liquor store and buy a new bottle of whiskey that you've never had before. I fall for the presentation of the bottles. That works on me very well. And the new experiment will be based on what they've done with that small little bit ability to differentiate themselves in their case display. I really like Buck Mason, which is a little known. I don't know how little known it is anymore, but when I first discovered them, they're a little known clothing company based, I think it started in California, and they're very traditional, simple shirts and pants and stuff that they said in one of their presentations, stuff your grandfather would have worn, black shirts and just, you know, button downs that are very much timeless. And, I think they just find a way to give you an image of yourself that you maybe want to have and are working up to it and haven't really gotten, you know, the idea of the everyman that is kind of gruff and for all seasons and kind of, I just think they do a really good job of showing you why you should buy their stuff. There's so many brands that we're fans of that we don't remember. Well, here's a weird one. I don't have an iPhone. So I'm a fan of Verizon's timeless flip phone that they keep on the market.
Those listening and not watching on YouTube, yeah, got flip phones.
Yeah, I got a flip phone. So I like that they still make it possible for me to do that. Altoids, I've carried a box of Altoids in my pocket for about 20 years. And
the same box, I'm assuming.
It's not the same box. I've cycled through. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what makes these things stick. What do you think is the most important aspect of loyalty?
That's a good question. So, I mean, here's a story from again, probably episode 30 or whatever I mentioned it, American Express. So I had a swimming pool put in my house in New York when I lived up there. And again, it's probably 30 years ago, whatever it was. And it was green, it was cloudy and all crappy. So the guy charged me, he was going to charge me to open the pool for the season, right? This is the same guy that installed the pool, and I paid him whatever it was, 10, 15 grand back in the day. So he charged me $1,250 to clean the pool, take the cover off, and make it swimmable. He came, he took the cover off and put the diving board on, but that was it. It was still pea green. And I said, there's no way I'm paying you $1,200 just to take the cover off and put that thing on. So I said, you know, I said, $350 is fair. I'm willing to pay you $350. He pitched a fit. He went nuts. So I told American Express, I said, listen, I called them and I said, there's no way I'm paying this guy $1,250 to do what he did. I'll give him $350. I'm being fair about it. I'm not telling him to stick it. Anyway, long and short of it is American Express was kind of caught in the middle, I suppose. They loved us as a customer. I've been a customer with them forever. And we spend a ton of money on that card. It's the only card I carry for that reason. And they ended up just charging me at $350 and sending us flowers, my wife and I. But they ended up actually paying the guy because he was a good enough merchant for them. And the lady didn't have to tell me that, but I was like, wow. So they just thought about it and said, you know, we've got this guy who's a great customer, this guy who's a great vendor. We need to make them both happy. We're going to eat it. And right. They did.
Right. So is loyalty have to do with something that's not in your immediate short-term interest?
Loyalty to me is them going above and beyond, recognizing my worth to them, right? They could have said, you know, screw this guy Gallo. He's an asshole. He's a pain in the ass. We're just going to go out and get a new customer.
Right.
But I would say since that time, and again, 30 years ago, I've probably paid them, you know, I've run up, it's a couple of million dollars on my credit card. I don't know what their fees are. Let's say 4%, whatever they make. So they make a ton of money from me. So the LTV on me, yep, it's got to be, I'm just going to say $40,000 or $50,000 from a, yep, customer for his lifetime. Been a member since 87. So that's a reason that I'm loyal to that customer and to that company and why.
Hmm. So is it always reasonable or is it counterintuitive sometimes? You know what I mean?
All right. I'm loyal to Southwest, but only because it's simple. It's easy, it's convenient based on my hub, you know, from here to New York. If I go back to New York, it's a direct flight and it's relatively inexpensive and it just gets me to point A to point B. Now, when I lived internationally and we were flying, you know, business class or first class all the time, where Southwest doesn't have that, we were American Airlines, I don't know, gold members and things, gold member, but, you know, so we get upgrades all the time and we get, you know, extra complimentary service and the whole shebang. I was loyal to them while I was using it, but then afterwards, and I no longer had that status because I was, you know, after I sold the business in 2010, I wasn't traveling nearly as much as I had back and forth.
Right.
You know, so that was more of a convenience thing.
Right. Well, that's what I'm wondering, because you have all these, why are we, you know, people use things every day and interact with brands every day that they don't respect and don't love. And I'm trying to square that, right? Like we are so addicted to, let's say, tech companies that a lot of people have trouble with for, let's say, privacy reasons, or people object to TikTok for certain reasons, but they're all over, you know, and Amazon, there people have problems with them, but we use it for everything, you know? And so there's a loyalty aspect that can also, I think, be counterintuitive to some of our, let's say, what we would say out loud that we feel.
Yeah. But, you know, you mentioned Amazon before, and we're Amazon Prime members, and I am loyal when it suits me. So we just bought blinds for outside in the back, right? And like privacy shades for the lanai that we have. And I looked online at Amazon, and there was no difference. I ended up going to blinds.com, and it was just an easier experience for me.
Right.
So, you know, again, it has to fit in, but that doesn't mean I'm not loyal to Amazon. I mean, we pay the Prime membership, and I like the benefits of just being able to watch the movies and stuff like that. But I don't think it, you know, unless I'm wrong, I don't think most people are loyal to Amazon because of Prime. I think they use Prime for the benefits that they receive from it, more so than the emotional attachment to it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because again, yeah. I found a cheaper way to get it to my house in 3-4 days from blinds.com than I would have on Amazon. And it was relatively the same price.
Right. Right. So it's situational. Yeah.
Yeah. So getting back to the stories that you think about telling for your clients, what are, you know, when you, do you catch any pushback from people, you know, when you're trying to explain to them that you need to speak in stories? Does it take a lot of convincing initially to get them over the hump?
Yeah.
They're thinking traditional ads. I just want people direct response. I want to put an ad out there. I want to see my ROI right away.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, that's a daily conversation. You know, you have people who are pretty bought. Some people start on page 10, you know, they're like, all right, you know, we've been doing things. They haven't been working. I mean, the truth is sometimes it's not the right strategy for people too. Sometimes it is good to run direct ads. If you have a certain product that, you know exactly who your buyers are and you found a really good mousetrap and it's working for you and you're going to keep getting an ROI on that, that it might make sense to not go the story-driven route. But in a lot of cases, when you're in a market that's very hard to differentiate yourself in, there's a lot of competitors, you know, you have 14 types of deodorant to choose from and you go to the aisle, or you have a new cereal and there's a million types of cereal, or a piece of footwear or clothing. You know, you have to differentiate. One of the ways you can differentiate is through your content. And it's a really good strategy that is becoming more and more creative all the time. And so if we can show how that can take shape and how that story can reflect brand values and what's different about them, then the cycle becomes a lot simpler and people are, you know, interested in experimenting with that. And I think it's a good way, to your point about loyalty, when you're talking to a consumer in terms of deals and discounts and benefits and product features, you're appealing to the part of their brain that deals with rational choices, right? You're appealing to their neocortex, which is underdeveloped compared to the limbic brain. The limbic brain is the part of our brain that makes decisions. And that is what processes emotion and resonance and feeling and stories. And, you know, so that's actually where we think that we're making decisions rationally, but we're really making it with our emotional center of our brain. And so when you're in the realm of story, you're immediately appealing to someone on a much deeper level.
Yeah, you're right. I heard this a long time ago. People make emotional decisions and back it up with rationality.
Yeah.
You know, right. It's true. I mean, every decision that someone makes one way or the other has an emotional attachment. Do you want to belong to that group that makes that decision? You know, a lot of people think in that respect too. And, you know, it's I think it was Malcolm Gladwell. I don't remember which book it was. I've read all of them, but it might have been Blink, about people making snap decisions immediately when they see something, and then they'll kind of figure it out after the fact. They'll back out of it and say, why is this the way it is? And it's fascinating. And yeah. And another thing too is that polls, when people take polls, you know, like surveys, they're generally making assumptions based on other people like themselves. So a lawyer says, what would another lawyer do in this spot? And this is what I think everybody should do. That's why sometimes you just got to throw it out. All these statistics are just...
They're chronically unreliable.
Yes.
Yeah, they are, for sure. There was a really interesting thing that it came out where they did a study where they had a ton of people in a room, And everyone in the room is in on the study except for one person. They put that person in the eighth or ninth position in a row. And the guy at the front of the room holds up two lines. And he says, which line is bigger, A or B? And clear, B is clearly way bigger. Have you heard of this?
Yes.
Okay. And so for the viewers,
I've seen it.
So you've seen it done? Yeah, it's shocking. So B is clearly a longer line. And participants 1 through 8, who are all in on the study, they'll say, which one is longer, A? Everyone gives the wrong answer. A is longer. So the person in the ninth chair, they're looking around like, how is this? So they're not sure, you know, how is everyone getting this wrong? By the time it gets to them, they've had all their peers give the same answer. In 80% of cases, 8 out of 10, the person will give the answer that their peers gave, even though their eyes are plainly telling them that one line is longer than the other.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I can't think of the name, but it's called not mind games, but it's called the guy, his name is Michael Vsauce is the name of the YouTube channel. V as in Victor, Sauce.
Okay.
Then he did he got sponsored, I think, by YouTube and did like a 15-part series. It was in 3 seasons, and it was at all these different things and myths that they kind of, not myth busted, but exactly like that. It was really cool. You got to look it up on YouTube.
All right, I'm going to check that out. Yeah.
Definitely. All right. So getting back to loyalty, customer loyalty, brand loyalty, what sort of actionable advice, Zach, could you give our listeners and your potential clients right now? What sort of advice could you give them to help increase their customer loyalty going forward?
I'd say if you're already making content, well, if you're not making any content, you're not making any videos, I would look into it. I think it's a very good way to communicate with people. And I think that, you know, every year the percentage of brands that are making videos increases, but at the same time, the skip rate of those brands increases. So the skip rate of that content increases. So we're making more stuff's going out into the world, but we're also skipping it at a much greater rate because we're getting very good at getting around things that are just not interesting to us, things that are, you know, irritating or disrupt our consumer experience. So I would say if you are making content and you're putting out into the world from a branded page, you have to ask, is it disrupting what's going on with my consumer experiences, or are they just adding to it? You know, am I enriching it in some way? Am I trying to be entertaining or engaging, or is my goal to have a narrator cram words into a 15-second spot that they have to race through before you skip it? You know, you're probably coming at it from the wrong perspective. Chances are. And then I would say, I think that it's really tricky for a brand to figure out, you know, to think the way that you think as a consumer. And I just think it's very hard for a brand manager to think about their own brand the way that they see things. We see things very clearly when we're shopping or when we're online, when we're scrolling, when we're on YouTube. We know what bothers us and we know what's interesting to us. But we somehow lose that clarity when we're on the other side of the computer, you know?
It's amazing you say that, because I noticed too, and to clarify your other point when you said about the time frame. So I noticed myself, so like every day I'll eat lunch and I'll watch YouTube videos, mainly about poker, about, you know, what to play, what not to play. But generally speaking, I've noticed a lot of videos now, maybe it's just my preference and they see it, that are down to like 6 and 7 minutes. Mm. Because the 30-minute ones are just too long. Not that my attention span's not there, but it's got to be really riveting for me to sit through 30 minutes of someone explaining one poker hand. Right. So now, you know, I watch this guy, it's called Crush Live Poker, and he does maybe 15 minutes, which is good. He goes through some different anecdotes about why you should do this and that, but you're getting right to the point. The crux of it is that people are just bombarded with so much stuff and you don't have enough time for it all, which really dovetails into the fact that this program, the paradox is, as much good stuff as we can talk about on the Loyalty Minute, people's attention spans wane, and it's natural. Right. You know, you can't be on the same subject for that long a period of time because you're like, there's too many other things going on in my life. I can't hang in that way in that long. So, you know, realistically, that brings us to the close of the show, in the sense that no, seriously, we're 20 some odd minutes. Yeah. Yeah. That's usually the limitation.
I reminded you. Yeah.
You did, because I've had this episode go 45 minutes, 40 minutes, I think it was, was the longest one we ever did. And it was a great conversation. It was the, it was the CEO from Firehouse Subs, but we went off on a tangent. We were talking about World War I, and it was crazy. But anyway, I digress. But Zach, seriously, I think it was a great conversation. I loved having you on. I think your insights were very insightful, obviously, for those listeners. So if those listeners want to get a hold of you, what's the best way they could do that?
Human Factor Media, humanfactormedia.co. You can email me directly, zack@humanfactormedia.co, zack@humanfactormedia.com.
Excellent. I will put it in the show notes as well. I also want to thank our loyal listeners for spending some of their valuable time with us. If you feel we've earned your respect and appreciation, we would definitely love a 5-star review on your favorite podcast streaming service. To listen to this and other Loyalty Minute episodes, please visit theloyaltyminute.com. Enjoy.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for your next edition of the Loyalty Minute.